Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. It is a great word this morning. And the word that God gave me is to hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. We got to ask God for healing. We got to ask God for everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. We got to go to the source. When we're in pain, we got to go to the source. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm claiming it. Right now, dealing with some issues of arthritis and pain and everything this morning, and I'm asking God for healing. I went to the throne and not to the phone. Hallelujah. And I continue to the throne. Prayer warriors that have prayed for me this morning, I thank God for them and ask God to continue watching over and blessing them as well as all of you. Let's take it to the throne this morning. Father God, hear our supplications. You know what's going on in each family's lives that listen in now and listen later, God. You know what your children are going through, God. We're praying this morning, God, for our youth, for our babies, God, that are going to school afraid because of threats of gun violence. We're praying for those, God, that feel so much hatred and anger that they feel they have to kill something and somebody. God, we bind that wicked spirit of murder. Your word says, thou shalt not murder. And Father God, we are praying for the souls of our nation, God. We're praying for the soul of America. We're praying for the soul of this planet, God. America has more gun deaths than any other country like ours in the world, God. We have more guns than we have Bibles and churches. People are more concerned about a weapon of mass destruction than about a weapon of salvation. So, Father God, hear my supplication for this nation, for this planet, God. We ask you, God, come in, guide us, lead us, show us the way, God, to be better, better human beings, better people of God. God, hear our prayers this morning. And Lord, as I lift up the word that goes forth today, God, I ask you to bless the readers and the hearers of the word, God, that this word will touch someone's heart, will touch someone's mind, will touch someone's spirit, God. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. You, Lord God, are our strength, and you, Lord God, are our Redeemer. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word, thanking you, Lord God, for your healing power. Thanking you, Lord God, for your love and your kindness. Thanking you, Lord God, for this word this morning. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God. And I lift your name on high, God, thanking you, praising you, giving you a hallelujah, highest praise this morning, God, for waking me up, clothing my right mind with your word in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Before we get started this morning, we're going to start and end with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for yesterday, we didn't have it before we went forth, but it is this: no one can block the blessings that God has for you. Oh, and I believe that was our word actually for Saturday as well as yesterday. And I'm saying it again because We're talking about supplication. We're talking about taking whatever the situation is to the throne of God. And so when we go hear the voice of my supplications, when I cry to you, that is our word for this morning. And Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday, our for Saturday feels in that space. No one can block the blessings that God has for you. When you pray, believe that what you pray for will go forth. I pray for healing this morning because I have a 9-hour work day today, not including what I do this morning for God. So I say to you, believe, and I'm believing for healing. I'm believing I'm going to get through my day. I know that God is able, and I know that it is all working for my good. I am believer. I'm a believer, and I have faith that my God answers prayers. So, hallelujah, give God some glory this morning, and let us get into our word this morning. We have Mother Valerie back from her sabbatical, and she's going to be reading this morning. And Mother Valerie, we just want to thank you for coming on today. And she will be coming out doing our Old Testament reading this morning, which is coming out of Leviticus chapter 23 and chapter 24. And then I will be back with you this morning in our Psalms and Proverbs and New Testament word. So, Mother Valerie, I am opening your line and, again, introducing to some and presenting to others my spiritual godmother, my spiritual mother, Mother Valerie Bell, who is a minister. And I just want to thank God for her and for her ministry as well, thanking her for being a part of us and being that, that woman of wisdom that you need to talk about some things, you can talk to her. And you know your business is your business. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother Valerie. I appreciate you. I love you. And I am turning this blog show over to you. But again, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward. And we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. New King James is what I come out of, and I'm not sure which version Mother is coming out of, but I believe she is also New King James, and if not, she is King James. So, Mother, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Praise the Lord.
The day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a blessed day. I mean, it started off with rain, and rain is good. We need rain. So I'm saying good morning to God, good morning to God's people, and this is the blessed day. I'm starting in Leviticus 21:3, 24, 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at the appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month, twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The 7 days shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap this harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be expected on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. You shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of the fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread, nor parched grain, nor fresh grain, until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. You shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day you brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. You shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and the food offering, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of a goat as a sin offering and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice, a feast offering. Priests shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord. I'm the Lord your God. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And if any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among the people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening. You shall celebrate your Sabbath. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days to the Lord. On the 1st day, there should be a holy convocation. You should do no customary work on it. For 7 days, you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and a burnt offering, and a grain offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering. Everything on its day, beside the Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts, beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you should keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the 1st day, there should be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourself on the 1st day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the bark of the leaf trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. For 7 days in the year, it shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in the booths, that your generation may know that I have made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So these are the feasts of the Lord, life lessons. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, these are my feasts. It's important to God that his people regularly come together to celebrate his goodness and provision. Something happens in the community that cannot happen in solitude. That's why the Bible says, don't fail to assemble yourself together. God has said, he didn't give it as a commandment, but he did say it, do not fail to come together. Because when you come together with other believers, even when you're pressing your way there, you feel better and you gain strength from the other believers. You really do. I know sometimes, I didn't feel like going to church. A lot of times, not just sometimes, maybe a lot of times. But like I tell my pastor, when I press my way, all the aches that I have in my body, just being there around the saints will give you strength. I mean, you feel better, and then you get one of the pastors to pray for you, and look like that feeling is with. You're glad that you're in the house of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and it comes. Your help really comes. I mean, I have experienced that time after time after time. Your help, when you press, is there because God is there. The people are bringing God there, and you feel the presence of the Lord. You feel it strong. Leviticus 24. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle meeting. Aaron shall be in charge of all of this from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. You shall take the fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of each head shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense on each roll, that it may be on the bread for memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath you shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him, from the offering of the Lord made by fire, for a statue. Now the son of the Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. The Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomite, the daughter of Derba of the tribe of Dan. They put him in the customary that the mind of the Lord might be shown to him. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp who has cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and all the congregation shall stone him. My Lord, that's God's word. Let all of them lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. They're going to stone him, the stranger as well as him who was born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Wow. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good animal for animal. If a man calls the disfigurement of his neighbor As he has done, so shall it be done to him. Factor for factor, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. As he has caused the sickness of a man, so shall it be done to him. And whoever kills an animal shall restore it. Whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger, for one from your own country, for I am the Lord, your God. Then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp him who had heard. They stoned him with stones. So the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. You know what? I told my nephew one time when I had read in the Bible that if you curse your mother or your father, you're going to be stoned to death. He said, oh, no, I'm kidding. That's not in the word. I know God wouldn't do that. And I showed him in the word about this stoning. God is serious about his words. He says what he says, and he means what he says. And you will be stoned to death. You are to honor older people. God tells you that. People with gray hair and older people, you are to honor them. Like I said, and I'm repeating, God means what he says. He says what he means. Because he's God, life lessons. Then they put him in custody, that the mind of the Lord might be shown to him. It is always wise to wait to act until we can learn the mind of the Lord. If we truly want to know God's will, that's if you truly want to know God, he will move heaven and earth to show it to us. I told my brother, I said, my Dennis, if you truly want to know anybody, I mean anybody, if they truly want to know who God is, all you got to do is repent of your sins and say, Lord, show me you. God will move in such a way that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that that's God, that it can only be God. I know when God called me to be a minister in Los Angeles, California, I got a whole lot to do. With this, a whole lot to do, like what? Like going to Vegas? Like doing my own thing? Okay, then God called me. Pastor was teaching who would run for God, who would speak up for God. And it touched my heart. She said, who's going to speak for God? I'm 79 years old, and it touched my heart. Soon I'll be 80. And I said, Lord, this time I'm not going to run. God waited for me. I mean, anything could have happened in between. God called me here at Fame and Power. I heard a knock. I ran to the door thinking it was my sister Janet. I mean, I'm running to the door. Then I laid back down. I said, no, that's God. And then Pastor brought the message, who would run, who would speak for God. So April the 17th, 2022, I answered the call of God on my life. And I'm going to continue to speak for God. My brother said, why is it every time that you open your mouth, you got to say something about God? He said, it's not about God all the time, Valerie. Don't you understand? You don't have to say something about God all the time. I said, but Dennis, when you're talking and you say something, I have to remind you of what God has said in his word. He said, but not all the time. I said, but then don't talk. You say, I always bring God into the conversation. And I do. I bring God into the conversation because of the things that he be saying. So I be thinking about God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. God is just good all the time. All the time. Like I was saying, you know, when bad things happen to you, I thank God. I'm not thanking God for the bad things. I'm thanking God in the bad things, not for bad things, like if you almost have an accident. And thank you, Lord. Well, I'm not thanking him for the accident. I'm thanking him because he's God. God is God. And you thank him in the rain. You thank him for the sunshine. You thank him for getting up. Everything that we do, we have to thank the Lord. We speak the name of Jesus because he's everything. I mean, it's true. He really is everything. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And I turn it back over to Pastor Griffin.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for that great word, Mother. You know, I love Mother Valerie because, you know, we do. We get together. We start talking about God. Yesterday I was with another minister, and the next thing we know, we're talking about God. We're talking about his word. We're talking about what God is doing in this season. You know, I'm a firm believer that God gives you visions and that God gives you an understanding, and that, you know, that with wisdom get understanding, we have to do that. And, you know, the word that he gave me is coming from this 28th Psalm, and it says that hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. We got to cry to God for ourselves as well as for others. We have to ask for God to bless our children and for our ministries and our churches and just for our planet. You know, I pray. I know the folks like, she's praying for the planet. Yes, I am. This planet is what sustains us through the Lord God. If God decides to take the ozone layer away, we'll burn to death. If God decides to take away the air that we breathe and make it unsafe, we will die because we need to be able to breathe. You know, it's a little girl on one of the commercials dealing with asthma says, it's like being a fish out of water. We need air. We need water. And our water is getting contaminated because of greed. And we need to pray about it. We need to pray for Flint, Michigan, and the water that's coming through Flint, through dirty pipes. We got to pray that our aquifer water does not get contaminated for those of us that are unwell. You know, we have to pray for those things and ask God to take care of our planet. And we ask God to hear our supplication because the Lord is our rock and our salvation. And that's what we call on. We got to take it to the throne of grace and not the phone of gossip. So many times we want to take everything and tell everybody everything in our world. But, you know, including if you go on Facebook, I got to show you a picture of what I ate today. Honestly, I don't care what you ate today. The question is, what is your soul like? You know, I don't need to know that you went to Mama Faye's for dinner and Mama Faye put her foot in it. Thank God you have a Mama Faye that's going to cook for you and give you a good soul food meal. We pray that it's healthy. But we have to pray for each other, lift each other up, and know our history. History unknown is history repeated. As Mother talked about, eye for an eye, do God for Jesus. Because we don't want to have to be taking folks out to stone them to death. Because I believe that the stoning is still happening, but it's happening in the spiritual realm. You may not be physically in this realm stoned, but in the spiritual realm, you're getting beat up. And you're wondering why. Because you did something you shouldn't have done. Or God is sharpening you. Iron sharpens iron. And we want to be sharpened by the best, which is God and Lord Jesus. So let's get into our word. Please turn to the 28th Psalm, which is where our title comes from this morning. And it says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. And this is David. And as we all know, David was going through. When, you know, we talk about our going through. But it wasn't nothing like David's going through when you running for your life every day. Because somebody who you've never done anything to is chasing you like you are a rabbit, like you are a fox, like you are a ram, just chasing after you to kill you. David went through, and he always was in prayer, just like Jesus. Always in prayer. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me. lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you. That's our word for this morning. Because we all have are going through moments, whether it's arthritis, whether it's a death of a family member, whether it's just downright, I need financial help, I need a home, I need transportation. Whatever it is you need, that is your supplication. And you cry out to God. Take it to God and leave it there. You got to take it to the altar and let God handle your business. We all need the Lord. We all need a father. We all need a friend. We all need God. And how do we get him? We cry out. We ask him, heal my voice, heal my body, heal me, God. Remove all pain, because, Lord, only you can do it. I can't do it on my own, so I need you now, God. The song says, I need you now. Oh, Lord, I need you now, not a second, not another hour, not a minute, not another day. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. We got to have that in our spirit. I need you now. And it says, when I lift up my hands towards your holy city, towards your holy sanctuary, we got to lift up our hands toward heaven and just say, God, I give it all to you. I give me to you. And then he says, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors but evil in their hearts. Come on now. Smiling faces tell lies. Isn't that what it said back in the 70s? They don't tell the truth. You got to beware. And it says who speak peace to their neighbors but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Woo! We got to pray. We've got to pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We got to do what the mothers say. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Give it to God, daughter. God, handle it. And I have a mug that I like to use. And it has a meaning to me. And it just so happens, either I saw it or it was given to me. And all it says is, this is God. And I will be handling all of your problems today. And I like to use that mug because I always love to be reminded that God is handling my problems today. And that why that mug means so much. My late boss, Roger Walker, history fact, before history, Black History Month is over, he was the first Black sheriff in the state of Illinois. And I was...
Wow.
His assistant. And not trying to say I'm making history or anything, but I was his first and only Black assistant in the sheriff's office, as well as his private secretary and then his confidential assistant when he went to become the director of the Department of Corrections for the state of Illinois. So Black history fact. But his wife, who was one of the most awesome women I have ever met in my life. Fergie was dying of cancer. Every Monday, I would send home a card for her with him. So he would take a card every Monday for her for the week that I would get. I just bought a whole bunch of cards and I would send her words of inspiration and affirmation and just words of love every Monday. And the last Monday, the Monday that she died, and forgive me if I get a little weepy because they both meant a lot to me.
Amen.
I sent her that card, and it was a telephone. And I had that card for her, but he didn't come in that day, and he called me. He told me that she had passed. When I read that card and realized what it said, and I said, God, you have a way of just doing what you do. The card for her for that Monday morning was, this is God, and I will be handling all your problems today.
Amen.
And he did, because he took her home.
Amen.
And she had no more pain. She had to take no more treatments. She didn't have to do anything but just know that God was handling her problems today. And I believe in my heart that all of us, thank you, Lord, because God is handling all of our problems today. When we say, hear the voice of my supplications, when I cry to you, God's response is, I am handling all your problems today. You don't have to worry. Just bring it to me, and I will take it. I will be handling all of your problems today. And our Proverbs word for this morning is this: he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You don't have to take it to the phone as you tell everybody about Sister Susie. Well, you know Sister Susie, girl, she was giving everybody the stink eye as she was ushering yesterday. You know what? I can't stand when it's Sister Susie's Sunday, because she always got some negative to say about your kids and about what you have on and how you smell. I can't stand her. I don't know why. Pastor left her usher. But nobody stopped to say, Sister Susie, are you feeling all right today? Sister Susie, can I pray for you this morning? Sister Susie, just let you know I love you and mean it. But instead, you're taking to the phone. But what you don't know is Sister Susie was in pain. Sister Susie was standing and ushering and she has severe arthritis, but she don't tell people that because she wants to work in the house of God. And ushering is what she had done for the last 80 years. And she wanted to usher until the day she left this earth. That's what she had asked God for, give her strength to usher until the day she left this earth. And so you didn't ask Sister Susie if you could pray for her. But then all of a sudden you saw Sister Susie looking pretty good. She was smiling. She was talking to certain people at the door. You know, as she was waiting to usher them in, she gave some hugs. But what you didn't know was that somebody stopped as they was coming in. And they saw Sister Susie's discomfort. Not that she was looking mean and hateful. Not that she was talking about anybody. That she was in pain. And they took her aside and prayed for her. And God answered the prayer immediately. We got to quit always getting bent up when somebody says, let's pray. Don't say, I'm all prayed up. We don't need that. There's no such thing as a little prayer. And prayer is what changes an atmosphere. And you have to stop because you don't know that God may have put on someone's heart that we needed to pray because it was important and that it was in their spirit that we needed prayer, ever it may have been, whether it was on work, whether it was in church, whether it was in the kitchen, wherever you might be. And when someone's heart says, can we pray? We need to stop and pray, because you don't know. You might be saving somebody's life. God is calling us today in this season to help each other, to pray for each other. Take it to the throne and not to the phone. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are coming out of Mark chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, it says, then he went out with from there and came to his own country. Now, Jesus went home. He went to Nazareth. He went to where he had grown up. He went to the synagogue where he had listened to the rabbi. And he was now, in their eyes, a rabbi. But then you got him saying some things that was making some folks uncomfortable. So this is what happened. Go back with me in time, y'all. Then he went out from there. And you're like, from where? If you were not with us on yesterday, Jesus was he actually? He had just healed, as he had just risen, raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter. And he had been in the synagogue. And he had been working all over. And he went home. And so this is after he had risen Jairus' daughter from the dead, when he went home to his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get a good look. Isn't that the carpenter? Wait a minute. Isn't that Joseph's kid? You know, and then it goes on to tell you who his family is. The son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Who is this little upstart coming in here preaching the word? Now, I ain't going to say that it wasn't a good word now, because it was a good word. It was an on-point word. And where did he get that knowledge? Because he needed a carpenter? I don't remember him going to school. Did he go to seminary? I don't remember him going to seminary. How did he get to be a rabbi? Is he in the line? I don't know. Is he part of the sons of Levi? Is he sons of Korah? How did he get to be up there? He got the jealousy and all the little folks talking behind his back. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching, called the 12 to himself, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Because he knew that he had allowed John the Baptist to be beheaded. So he's scared because he knows he ain't living right. He's not living right. Living with his brother's wife, getting all hot and bothered over his brother's daughter. Come on now. Who is his niece? And we already read that you should not uncover the nakedness of your niece. Your brother's daughter is in the word. And it goes on to say, and others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, like the one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been risen from the dead. For Herod himself has sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. But he had married her. Because John has said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to have my kingdom. She must have been doing some serious dancing for him to give up half his kingdom for. But what did she ask for? She asked for the head of John the Baptist. Immediately, she came in with haste to the king and asking, I want you to give me at once the head of John on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb.
My Lord.
Come on now. Just evil for evil's sake. And when we go back into the word of God and read Mark 6:6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Unbelief always causes Jesus to marvel because he knows that the God who asks us to trust him is almighty, all-wise, all-present, and all loving. Why would someone not trust God? The very idea is beyond understanding. Hallelujah. The very idea is beyond understanding. We got to trust God. In all things, trust the Lord. Because he's got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. And as we go into what the Bible says about John the Baptist, a man of discernment. Come on now. A man of discernment. And it says this, what would you think of a man who lived alone in the desert, wore camel skins, and ate wild honey and locusts? And how would you feel if this man said you needed to beg God change your life? Call it straight. Tell the truth and shame that wicked devil. In today's age, if some yippy-dippy guy wearing camel's hair, come on now, talking about repent. Let's call it. You know, we all, for us that grew up in the 70s, we saw people like this on a regular, on TV. You know, they was the Woodstock folks. They was the folks that was the, they called them back then, the Jesus freaks. Come on, calling it. And folks,
amen,
look at you crazy because all them Jesus freaks out there dancing around out there in their little RVs. You know, they just so crazy. They just so crazy. And, you know, you have some folks that looked a little wild and unshaved and, you know, but they love God and worship, serious worship. I was saved by one of these so-called Jesus freaks who came to our youth ministry, but you could feel the glow of God all over this man, all over those that were with him as they sang to us, as they ministered to us, as they preached to us. And it was something in their heart that hit all of us in the youth ministry. It hit our spirits that night. I was 13 years old, and I had a Holy Ghost experience that I went home talking in tongues and didn't know what that was. I went home talking to my parents about salvation, just crying for salvation.
Amen.
And wanted to make sure, because they were older, that they were saved, that they knew Jesus, and not just the superficial Jesus. I mean, I was preaching. And I started working in ministry, as a youth ministry, in youth ministry at the time, Salvation Army. And we did quarter ministry because it was part of our training. As a corps cadet, you did ministry. And you studied, and you had to take tests, and you got graded on those tests. And I remember, you know, the presiding elder, because I also went to church twice a day on Sunday. And it seems like my life revolved around church, and I've repeated the cycle since my husband died. My life revolves around church and things. But anyway, I went to church at my regular church with my parents, which was AME in the mornings, and I went to the Salvation Army in the evenings, but I also went to the Salvation on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and some Friday nights. So I was at the Salvation Army pretty much all week sometimes. And I remember the presiding elder preaching this really lackluster, no salvation involvement message. Now, I'm 16 years old now. And I'd have been to camp. I'd have got the Holy Spirit. I'd have glowed and everything else. And so I was filled up. And I had this, you know, minute. I guess I was supposed to have been a minister back then. But I went to the presiding elder. And I said, sir, respectfully now, because I grew up in the South and you didn't talk bad to your elders. But I said, sir, that message didn't save any souls today. And my mother, I'm sure she was embarrassed. As I told him, I said, you need to be preaching a revelation word. You need to be telling folks about Jesus. You need to be telling people that they're going to go to hell if they don't know the Lord. And that message today was all about money. It was not about God. Because Jesus, and then I went on to tell them all about how Jesus cleaned out the church from money changers and those that was not, that was all about money and not about salvation. This man looked at me like I was some crazy child. Talking to him like he, I was like, oh, you're not preaching a salvation word, sir. And my mother told me, you keep your mouth shut. You don't tell anybody how to preach. You are a child, and you need to act like one. You know, I was like, well, I know Jesus. And she's like, I know you know Jesus, but you don't go talking to the presiding elder like that. And then, of course, the only thing somebody could say, well, you know, that's Lee's daughter. Because my mama was the same way. My godmother that raised me, she was the same way. She would tell the truth, and if you didn't like it, that was on you. Because the truth sets us free. And so she was one that didn't, that would tell you in a minute what Robert Rules of Order say. Because she was a rule stickler when it came to church business. She didn't play. So
amen.
As we continue in this word, what it talked about, how would you, what would you feel? You know, if you saw this guy out there in the desert, wore his little camel skin, ate wild honey and bugs, because of bugs. But again, locusts are the only bug, one of the only bugs that God has said we can't eat. And it is very high in protein, by the way. And it says, and how would you feel if this man said you needed to let God change your life? you can see why many people who heard about John the Baptist went to see him out of sheer curiosity. But John was no lunatic, and neither was his message his own. For almost 30 years, God prepared John to announce the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John was a man of great spiritual discernment who knew the difference between those who came with humble, repentant hearts and those who came to mock or criticize. When you ask God for discernment, he gives it to you freely for those who truly seek his face and his direction for their lives. The Lord brings a wisdom that can come only from him. Hallelujah. Discernment is a gift we all need. We need to discern who's right, who's wrong, what is of God and what is not of God. If it hurts you, it is not of God. If it's causing you more financial stress, it's not of God. Don't let folks talk you into stuff that you know God ain't sent them to do. You know, what God knows, you got to ask God, Lord, did you send this person or did you send that person? And God will tell you. If somebody is telling you what you need to do and you looking at that big old huge plank hanging out of their eye, they need to watch out for the speck in yours because your speck is seeing their plank. So don't go telling somebody anything about themselves. Girl, you need to clean your house when your own house is a mess. You know, you need to do this when you already, you doing the same thing. You know, you need to stay out of them clubs. How you know I'm in the club unless you was in the club with me? We know we got to stop that. God is going to hold us all accountable. And this is what the word for this morning in our prayer says, releasing kindness. Love your enemies, come on now, and do good. And lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. As it say, God reigns on the just and the unjust. If it is your blessing, you know, no, your blessings are irrevocable. Nobody can take your stuff. And if your stuff, even though you're wicked and evil, God had already preordained that you would do this, that, or the other. That is of God, and you got to go with that. Luke 6:35 says, Father, your kindness cannot be measured. You freely give out of the goodness of your heart, and I want to be just like you. Loving those who are hurt and reject me, those I love is following your example. May I be one who gives without expecting anything in return, doing good because that is who you are, and you have filled my life with goodness. May I practice giving out of the abundance that you have given me because more like you in your kindness, becoming more like you in your kindness. You don't ask for what you don't model. And I'm so grateful for the incredible way you have loved me and poured out your mercy over my life. It is not too much to be generous. If I am a child of a generous God, I pray that I would align myself in this identity. Excuse me. I have been well taking care of others and giving to those around me is a natural reflection of the reality I live in. Others receive your kindness for it. Who can you be intentionally kind to today? And I thank God. But I felt like I was reading about myself. So I can't do more than say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and glorious day. Be kind to someone. Love someone. Give God glory, honor, and praise. And let others know that you serve a mighty and awesome God. And that you love them because God first loved you. Have a blessed day, family. And again, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you. Whew, we got to cry to the Lord and know that He is with us wherever we go. Love you, Mother. Thank you so much for joining me as co-host this morning. Hopefully we can do this again on tomorrow. Everybody, we thank you. We praise God for you. And we again ask the Lord to watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. And we stay together, family, because I got to go to work. Please keep me in your prayers. God will get me through this day. Hallelujah. And again, it's a wrap. Mother, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Join us tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. Have a great day, family. Have a great day, Mother. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.